Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and I'm so excited to be here today with you all, and I'm so excited you're here with us. I have, as I've been doing, probably since, how long we've been doing this, Tracy, together? A few months now, I think.
Yeah, several.
Tracy Mahan here. So, hello, everybody. And our special guest, Kaya Wittenberg, and I think you all know him, too, because he's been here. Yay! Look at him. He's in short sleeves and we're...
I know. We're all like bundled up and...
there, I have snow on the ground.
Oh.
Yeah.
80 degrees right now and...
Yeah, can you disconnect that
two boats are
connection with Kaya?
Yeah. I've told him this before, so it's nothing. They always want to slap him in the face.
Yeah, he's going to have two handprints now. It'll be like...
Just giving the weather report.
Well, it is like 35 here with a half inch of snow, but apparently it's only on this mountaintop. Maybe on mountaintops, but apparently once you get past just down the road a half a mile, it's all gone. So,
wow.
I'm up in the ethers.
Parallel reality.
Yep, sounds good to me. So anyway, welcome everybody and thank you for being here. Thank you, Kaya, for being here.
That's awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm over here looking at the live version on Facebook and realizing I'm not going to talk because when I do, it puts me right up there.
Yeah, this is an experiment where we've had several changes today doing this and we're trying this live. So you know, we'll see how it goes. It's always fun to do new things. So anyway, we have so many things happening and we just got back from this fantastic class and excursion and trip and adventure and whatever else we want to call it from Egypt. And so I wanted to get Kaya on as quickly as possible from that event before we started forgetting, like we could forget any of it. But I noticed last time, was that last week, Tracy, that we did a show?
Oh, gosh, no, that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay. But anyway, when we did, I don't remember. When we did, we were talking a little bit about it, and I realized I was already, the sequence of events was way off, and I was already losing track of things, but it was hard to keep track of things during that trip.
Yeah.
See there. Bleh.
Yeah. And so, you want me to do some talking for you?
So I wanted to do this as soon as we could because so much happened. And Kaya, you had this remarkable experiences that I really want you to talk about what's happening to you. And I think it was happening in different ways to all of us, but you were able to verbalize it in such a way. In fact, you even had to take a day off to be able to process what was happening, as I recall. So anyway, let's talk Egypt.
Egypt. Yeah, like you were saying, it was the thing that really stands out for me was the actual experience of exploring Egypt. It was unique. It was a little bit different than any other way that I've explored a place before, because Egypt, I was feeling such strong energies to get pulled to a particular area. So we had this amazing guide. She was incredible. And it was very safe, very secure, very ordered. And she was so knowledgeable. And she would point out sort of the historical background, the cultural background beyond what we were seeing and adding a lot of clarity there. So you're getting the picture. I'd listen for a little bit and then there'd be a trigger of some word in there. And I would hear it. Like, for instance, it'd be like, we're at the Temple of Horus. And they were saying, and Horus did this or Horus did that. And I start to feel like a tug and I would just wander off. And
you
I'm wandering
so
off.
You're always feeling, wandering off.
Yeah. Especially here. And wandering off. And I kind of just sit there in a corner and just taking in that energy. And it was so much like going back in time or going back to a different self or going back to a time when Egypt was home. And it felt like that in so many different places, which was really unique to have that home feeling so prevalent in all these different areas of Egypt. That was really special and really neat.
Very cool. So do we want to kind of try to do some sense of chronology? we had some major things happening in the class, which led us to do our next, the first really cool special thing that was completely spontaneous. And that was when we went to see the Sphinx. We actually got to
That's right.
With the Sphinx in between the paws and doing all that. It spurred from what happened in the class. I don't know that we need to go into that detail, but it was so cool. I mean, we had to go. There was no way around it. And miracles happened to get us there. And it was so cool because it's not easy to get to do that. And it takes 2 to 3 days to get the license and everything to be able to do it. And everybody got involved. And I think we had it done in 2 days. We were able to get in there and go. And so you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's special with our groups overall. We're really good at getting the approvals from the government to get right to the place of the greatest core energy for whatever we're doing. Like we did at Stonehenge, had the private sunrise feeling at Stonehenge, and then to be here again at the sunrise at the base of the Sphinx and no one else around. That was so remarkable, because when you go to places like Machu Picchu, there are literally thousands of people around. And so it just definitely felt like there was a lot of hustle and bustle, but Egypt, there was this pristine sense of just our group being there and connecting. And I think that just really helped with the overall experience. It was so beautiful. And the tie-in in the class was this, I guess I could do a little bit of tie-in with it, was when we do these live sessions in class, they're really powerful. And lately when we've been doing ones with Sarah, there's been just incredible things happening that are very interconnected. So it ties in the entire group to a place, a theme, an idea, a sense of unity. And it kind of all comes together and we get a bit of a narrative from that. And it's so powerful. And in her situation, we were actually having a past life where we were going and journeying to the Sphinx like 12,000 years ago, before the pyramids were there and the Sphinx was different. And the part that was really like when I leaned over to her, I said, "This is amazing."
Actually, it was more flowerful than that. We'll keep it G. It was really perfect though.
I just wanted really quick, you mentioned Sarah, and maybe we could give her full name and give her some just a little shout out so that everyone knows who Sarah is when you're talking about Sarah.
Talking about Sarah Breastman Cosme. And she lives in Key West.
And a level 3 practitioner.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Sarah, if you're watching.
Yeah.
So just such an interesting, the live session was so powerful in class. We were hanging on every word as she was defining this experience. And the part that was sort of jaw-dropping for me was looking into the eyes of the Sphinx. We were there, and the eyes were very bright and glowing, and when you look into the eyes, the Sphinx could kind of read your thoughts and see through you and read your beliefs and read your thoughts and sort of read your matrix of energy of who you are. And that's the telepathic connection that the Sphinx had, which I've never seen before described in that way on any videos that I've watched on YouTube, on anything on Gaia, although there's a lot of great Gaia programming about it. That was really, really cool, and it got us really excited for the experience that would be happening the next day. So we were really psyched to go see the Sphinx, and we did these guided meditations there that were just so powerful that people were having different types of physiological reactions to the energy that was coming in and processing the energy, because it was a higher form of energy, and everyone, they have a natural way of how their body works with that energy, which is wild how everybody has their unique way of doing things.
Well, and I think that's something out there to talk about, because I think some people are reluctant to allow themselves to experience the energy because their body might do things or whatever. And it's like, and that's what was so great about this was, it was a safe area, a safe place where people could just be themselves and just allow it to happen and just feel it.
Yeah, that's the essence of what it was. It was... Mm-hmm. The timing of it was so nice. And historically speaking, in the paws of the Sphinx are supposed to be a chamber below it that has some of the hidden information of the real history of the Earth, which is super fascinating. And we sort of learned also the narrative behind why more of this can't be revealed. And it's an intricate web of politics and culture and why the Egyptians sort of keep things as they are and don't dive too much deeper into things. And but they do allow people to come into the country and to explore it in the way that they want, and process it the way that they want, right? So we get in there and explore and process, and we were firsthand feeling that energy, and we're literally in the paw of the Sphinx, you know, right where that sacred energy is, and touching it and laying in there. It was magnificent. And it was something that I think everyone should do at some point in their life.
Absolutely. And I know when she said, like, in the life that we had, we looked up and we were all in awe of it. And it was that same feeling came through when we actually went down. When you're up on the level where normally if you're just seeing the pyramids, you're on this higher level. You're almost like next to it. But when you actually can go down and get its full magnitude, that's when you really feel that awe. And it was all right there again. Wow. Anyway. So.
Well, and I've had the experience of watching the pictures you guys were posting and the little videos that you were putting up on social media and stuff. And even in those pictures, you can feel there's some energy just radiating off of those. So I can only imagine what that was like to be there in person. And it sounds like that was just 1 minute of your experience of all the different things that kept happening throughout that whole time you were there.
Absolutely, because that was like the first morning of our bonus days of our, you know, we actually started going. That was added on in the morning. And then from there we went, was that the day we did the camel safari?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk about camels, Kaya.
You're better off to, you're better suited to talk about camels, actually.
I love the camels too. I'll tell my story, but I want you to tell your version of camels.
Your version.
Because we both love the camels.
I mean, yeah, okay. For the record, my version of the camels, I really, really enjoy the camel safaris. For me, the connection with the camel and the ride, it's almost like a smooth cloud. Mm-hmm. They're so big and you're high. Yeah. And they're absorbing your weight, and they're not really going to take off running at any time. So you have this feeling of security and height and grandeur, and just also just connected. It feels so smooth when you're there with the camel. And they particularly love our groups. Our groups are coming in, and they're showing love to the camel. They're doing Reiki sessions with the camel and giving energy to the camel and treating the camel so well. And then the camel tamers or the people that are, they say, oh wow, the camels are really happy today. Yeah, it must be just a lucky day. They're happy. Mm-hmm. You know, we get along so well with them. That's really special. And it was one of those moments where we're in it, we're doing it, and I was looking around and I'm on this camel and we're just going up this side of a hill, and you look over and it's pyramids, and then you look around, it's just the empty Sahara, and then there's a couple of horses back there, and I think behind me someone was singing star language, and so I have this beautiful star language that I'm listening to as I'm trekking through the Sahara on my camel overlooking the pyramids, and I'm like, this is so perfect.
Yeah.
Where else in the world can you have that happen, right? Where you have all of that surrounding, you're on a camel, and there's this language being spoke that just resonates. And, you know, these are QHHT experiences, I think. You know, you go to these classes, you get into these groups, and there's so much power and there's so much energy. And these kind of scenarios, even when you're not in Egypt, you know, they're happening. They're everywhere. So that's very exciting, but I imagine Egypt just amplified all of that energy, like, beyond anything. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead.
I think we had 85 people at the practitioners reunion, which is, Egypt can be a lot of different experiences. There's different levels that you can explore Egypt. There's different groups that you can go on and see Egypt. And I just really, I'm super gratitude that I was able to experience it with our group of just the like-minded energy. And it was really easy just to look into everyone's eyes and connect with them and hear their story about how Egypt is impacting them, and just going from person to person, and then us, everybody's having dreams about each other and saying, oh, I felt this about you where we were here and this and that. And it's just such a beautiful connection that we had with our group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very, very special. And like you said, the energies just kept, they were exponentially affecting everything. The dreams, every experience was just bigger and deeper, and everybody was tapping into their own energies and their own, like you said, the experiences of what else was there. Because there's, you know, there's the layer you see. We kept talking about this. There's a layer you see. Then there's a layer that they will tell us, you know, the guides. And our guide was fantastic. And yeah, she told deeper than probably most of the guides would tell. But we could feel it. We felt that it was at least maybe another three layers deep before you start getting to some truth, some real honest, you know, actual stuff. So it's really, that's what was cool. And we were all picking up things like that, you know?
Yeah. Like a lot of times you'd look at the hieroglyphics were particularly interesting. You'd go by and I mean, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. You could just wander on your own and look at particular sets of the hieroglyphics and you could see flying saucer, a clear flying saucer. You could see balls of energy that they're working. You could see people looking up to the sky. You could see star energies twinkling down. There's different sets of that everywhere, right? So it just seems so obvious that there's a higher form of existence that was helping that process, you know.
And
there's no doubt, absolutely. When you look at the grandeur of the stone, 200 ton pieces of granite, I think that they mentioned, and the way they're positioned and laser cut and the way that they're exactly accurate to the directions, north, south, east, west, whatever direction they are, but they're absolutely perfect. Just the detail around it and the precision is just mind boggling. And I think by going there, you get a better sense of what it's like to be a human being and appreciate, but also much, much more.
Much, much more. Like you said, I mean, let's take this, and I'm going to probably butcher the pronunciation, Serapeum, I think this is right. And that, I mean, we went there after like the pyramids and stuff. And this is where these huge chambers are, and they're just lined up. I mean, they're within a building, but they're lined up. I don't know how many were in there. But every time, it's like I'd walk by and all this energy was coming out. And these chambers, they, like I said, they're like these great big stone or granite. I don't know what the stone was. Probably granite. What was it?
Mostly granite, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Like big boxes with these, I mean, the lids on these things, and they were all of it's granite. I mean, I don't know, foot and a half?
At least.
That was the top. And they're showing like they're, and it's like, why would you, and they're trying to say it's tombs. They're always saying everything is tombs.
But I think they're trying to say the bulls were buried there.
Yes.
Like bulls.
Bulls. They're sacred bulls. Yeah. And it's like, why would you need those kind of lids on, you know, those tops on bull coffins?
Yeah.
So, anyway, and then when we were walking through there, every single, it was interesting on one side, it was on certain ones, especially, energy that was coming off was, I probably felt more energy there up to that point. Now I kept getting more as we went to further places, but at that time, that was the strongest energy I was feeling was in there. And I think you had some.
Yeah, definitely there was incredibly powerful.
And then I've since watched that video, that link that you sent me, and they're saying that they actually, they're shaped, they're formed, and have all the right ingredients and everything to be batteries. So that would explain that would explain the energy probably that picking up, it's electrical energy. So makes sense. I mean, it goes with the oh gosh, they're giving me a visual. Okay.
All right, let's see it. What are you getting?
Well, it goes with the pyramids. Remember they were saying the pyramids are generators or activators, they're the ones generating the electricity, and it's like this is where it's stored. Your batteries, okay,
right
over there, so it goes there, and that's why the energy is so, but they're showing it being going there and being stored there, and then that's where it's used, so it's like a big powerhouse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not bull tombs.
I think they're so much older than, you know, they go back. Mm-hmm. Like the thing about the Sphinx, and you could see, I saw the water marks on the Sphinx that they talk about. They're really clear. Mm-hmm. So there was certainly water erosion reactions with it, and you can see it clearly. And they dated that back much, much, much later than historically they stayed.
Yeah, much further back.
So it seemed very easy to just sort of close your eyes and get into this meditation and feel what Egypt was actually like back then living in it. Because if you think Vegas is a spectacle, it is not.
You just compared Egypt to Vegas? Come on!
Yes. I mean, that's what we look at for spectacle, right? People go down a particular road and they want to see spectacle. That you perhaps see that. You maybe walk down in Times Square in, you know, New York City, and you're seeing spectacle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just incredible. And the pyramids, they were plated with, I think they were, what they're saying, they're sort of mirror, and then there was gold on top.
Gold on that top piece. This is what this video we saw. And they kind of alluded to that in our tour, too. It's like they were coated with it. It's like a limestone, a very polished, highly polished limestone, which would be like a mirror. Well, that way it was reflecting. See, all these things go into the ability to conduct electricity. and then the gold capstone is what it had, but then those things were removed.
Yeah. Well, you're giving me validation from one of my QHHT sessions that I personally went on with another practitioner, and the pyramid was shiny gold. But I was sitting there thinking, well, where am I? Because the pyramids are made of stone here. And so as you're saying that, I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So good validation.
Yeah, they were. And then when you look at them, even with what they've got still there, I mean, it's the rough stone that's underneath, but even those are have such precision in the construction. It's just amazing. And they're just all in perfect formations. And like Kai was saying, I mean, all their measurements and everything is just to a T. And then they're facing certain directions. I mean, none of it's by accident. It wasn't just going, oh, let's build something.
Yeah, lots of sacred geometry going on with lines and ley lines and so much, beyond what we even know.
Like touching, the stone was so smooth. Everything just where you're feeling your way around things. And sometimes that's more fun than seeing. It's just sort of feeling your way. And you'd feel the stone. It's so perfectly smooth. And then they said that in particular areas that this had to be drilled with a diamond or something that's stronger, has more strength than the diamond, or they said it was just laser cut.
Right. Yeah, it had to be done. They said, we hardly have the instruments now to do what was done, what had to have been done. And like to raise the weights, we don't have that technology. But, you know, and then to cut in that precision, yeah, it's probably lasers. You know, and that's, I think they can do that now, but it's new. So, okay, I've got Mickey wanting to be.
Oh, the kitty.
Yes. Yeah. She's like, yes, me. Mm-hmm. So these different places. All right, so then I'm trying to think. Sakhmet. We got that. That was in our cruise part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so after the pyramids and everything, after Cairo, then we went on our cruise, a Nile cruise, that we went from Luxor to Aswan, and each place had its temples and its areas of just really cool things. And I think the first was that in Luxor that we, this is where I'm getting them all mixed up as to what was where and stuff. And,
yes, it was Luxor.
Okay, so I want you to talk about your Sekhmet experience and what was
Yeah, that was really, really cool. We were lucky enough to have the guide. Her instructions were really to bring us to areas of the greatest vibrational resonance and specific energy areas that are super powerful. So she was like, I'll have something really special for you. And so we were walking back through this temple that had the really, really big pillars. And it was so grand, and we kept walking back further and further and further, and we get back to this room and open the door, and it's this statue of a lion figured and then half lion, half human. But the face wasn't an aggressive lion. It was like a mellow lion face that had a calm sense to it. And it was made from granite, a darker color. And as soon as we were in there, I felt like a heart energy, like a nice opening of my heart. And I felt like I wanted to go walk closer to it. So I was just opening myself to that energy and allowing, and was just putting my hands on Sekhmet, and I was feeling the vibration. And it was the energy that was super connected to part of my life themes of taking initiative and taking action and just like going for what you want. I felt that energy that was very profound there. And that's an energy that's like, it's so intoxicating. Of all the energies you can get, I really, really, really like that one. Just go out and do things, right? Be productive, mm-hmm. and sort of seize your passion.
And I think that's what she stood for.
Yeah.
Strength and that, you know, assertiveness and just exactly what you're saying. And healing. Yeah.
And she also had healing to it. And then when I got deep enough into it, I was just feeling it. I was hearing like, I am Sekhmet, but hearing different ways of elongating the words. Mm. And that was like, I would say that's a doorway to connecting deeper, because the words and the vibrations allowed for a greater assimilation with the energy exchange that was happening. And it was so powerful that after, I couldn't leave the room. Like I left the room and then I wanted to come back to the room and just put my hands up without feeling it. And as our group left later that night, I just felt like I needed to be alone for a while to process. And I was getting more information and more downloads. And I felt myself lifting. And I was meditating for hours. I've never meditated for hours at a time.
Meditated like all night long. Or...
Yeah. No sleep. No sleep needed.
Oh, it was wild. I've never had that experience before. So Sekhmet and I are like this. We're close now.
And you were getting like powerful downloads from that, I believe you said too. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was just really
very relevant in terms of just looking at life and thinking about different things and empowering. And as I live my life, state is so important. You know, I really do everything I can to get myself into a particular state every morning. So I go about my life in a higher energetic state as I go after things. Right. And that energy that comes, I think it's very useful to bring as a ritual into my life. So I really learned something, how I can bring that energy into my life almost on a daily basis through a little bit of ritual. And it's parallelism between a life that I had back there and the connection to that energy and however I was doing things there. So that was pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah. And I heard that story before this show, and that impressed me. And, you know, I had to go back. That's powerful when it draws you in like that, and there's like that soul recognition of the energy and all that stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
So, all right, tell us more, guys. Tell us more.
It's neat just to not filter yourself when you're there, to drop everything and know that you're with this beautiful group of also people that have traveled this crazy trip around the world. It's not easy to get there. It takes a long time, wherever you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another time where we went to another area and there was this sort of altar/table also that was made of granite. And she said, you're going to really like this. Go check this out. And I had that experience where I was holding onto the table and it was super profound. And after a minute or two, I started to feel, I felt like a channel of energy that was maybe so wide and it was going straight and it had different colors. And within this channel of energy, there were symbols that represented themes, but they were entire concepts. So if you're teaching something, it would be like an entire concept bundled up into one symbol. And I was teaching a class, there was a group of people there, and I was pulling symbols, and I was sending symbols to different people in the class and teaching a class telepathically as part of a life before in Egypt. And I felt everything, that other version of me, I felt what it was like. I felt very awake. I felt very smart. I felt very caring and connected and loving with everyone there. And it felt beautiful sharing information. And that was also part of me. The intellectual in me was super stimulated at that point. It was a beautiful, just another experience, totally different feeling, but so powerful to recognize there also.
Yeah, it's. I'm just kind of reliving it as you're talking about it. So if I wander off, that's where I'm at. I'm just going. Gosh, I'm trying to. Okay, we had the Temple of Isis. Mm-hmm. And that one, that was really cool in that that was the first time. I mean, we had, the, like you said, the flying saucers and things like that in hieroglyphics. This one on their pillars, if anybody knows, it's like we've seen in some books, it has the Hathors, you know. Yeah. And I don't know a lot about them, but I recognize them. Anyway, at the tops of these pillars in the Isis temple, there's these Hathors, you know, stuff on every single pillar. It's like, what, you know, they're trying, it's all right in front of us. That's the thing that kept coming out. It's like, we're trying to tell you, it's right in front of you. You know, you can keep covering up, or you can go ahead and just start accepting and listening.
It's also really fascinating getting there and allowing yourself to also feel shape. Because the Egyptians used shape and light in such interesting ways, the way that they would construct doorways, and the light would come into the doorway in just a particular way that creates this quasi illusion of like almost going into like a heaven or going into a cloud when you look. And I took some pictures like that where I'd stop and I would look, and the pictures really looked like portals. And sometimes narrow passages with light coming through in this just really perfect way. So there's this beautiful symmetry with shape and delicate balance and shape. I mean, for an artist, I could imagine just sitting there and like drawing these things forever, because the way that the Egyptians utilized that space and constructed things, it was just mind blowing.
Yeah. So we can go deeper on that. And because now I'm thinking about those places, I mean, you go in, there'd be like usually a great big area, like a common area, and they have all the pillars and everything, and then you go off into these smaller areas which go off into smaller rooms, and I never really did hear a good explanation of what those rooms, I mean, it's all guessing as to what they're for, but from what you're saying, it'd be interesting to speculate as to, you know, like, is it light coming in, is it the way it's, I mean, what were these rooms maybe for, because they go down to some small rooms.
Yeah.
Any idea?
Did you guys go into those little rooms, or?
Yeah, we went into little rooms too. I mean, I wasn't so interested about trying to discern what everything was. It was more like just feel the experience. And so it was very, very much just allowing myself. One day I'd be feeling like being fascinated with shapes. The other days with energy. The rest, some other time, it's like just a connection with the people in this particular place. So it's like every day I felt something different that was flowing there, but you let your mind wander and go back constantly to what this place was. And I found myself conflicted at times upon looking potentially at the situation from a situation as a negative, because my first inclination is I would look around and I would see the hieroglyphics on the wall and there'd be a beautiful statue. And then it's just crossed out, like people came, the pharaohs or whomever, and they tried to erase the past so that they could put their own stuff in it. And then it makes you think about how history was stored in various places, and then there were fires and people destroyed a text, and you get this common theme that people came in when they got power, leaders would try and destroy the past so that they could put their own stamp on what the past is according to them. And there were a lot of examples of that. And in hearing those examples, part of me is like, oh, that really sucks for humanity. It's not cool at all, because there's so much beauty to learn into the past. And we deserve to have an accurate picture of where we came from and to understand where we're going to. You can get that by looking from within, but it's nice to see the pieces of history. But then I thought, okay, again, like life is an exercise in attaching the right meaning so that you can gain something from it. And in looking at that meaning, I would say, actually, aren't we all just so lucky to be here now in a place where all this can be revealed openly to us, to where we can question things openly. We can open our mind. And it's like we're meant to be exactly where we are now in this state, where we don't have to be scared somebody's going to kill us if we're interpreting this in the wrong way or we're saying the wrong thing. We've came a long way.
Right.
And I guess appreciate where we are and how rapidly we are accelerating right now with consciousness. That was the struggle that I was having as I'd initially get this jolt and I'd see them destroy something so beautiful, like a head cut off of this incredible grand statue. And they're like, oh no, they wanted to, Pharaoh wanted to change it, or this person wanted to change that. And they're like, oh,
I have to say something because I'm watching Kaya speak about this, and it's really Kaya speaking his truth. And the whole time, Kaya, you have this light on your throat. Can you see it?
Yeah, it's the light coming in.
Yeah, and it just keeps highlighting the throat, and it's like, oh, look at him just speaking his truth, and that light comes in right there. It just, I mean, it's just kept showing up, and I couldn't not see it, so I thought I'd just bring it
That's really
up.
Cool.
Yeah. Because he has some. Yeah.
If you do it just right, you have a beautiful crown chakra dancing too. So yeah, you can just play with that all.
Wrote the crown.
Yep.
Let there be light.
Kaya activated right there on the metaphysical hour. That's
right.
Great.
So cool. Gosh, what else? There's just so much there. And that's funny. I was listening to you talk about how you were into the feelings and looking at the shapes and everything like that. And it was funny because when I was there, I mean, I was feeling the energy and everything, but I would see, I think those hieroglyphics were stirring things up in me as far as there probably was probably recognition or I understood it on some level, what it meant or something. I don't know. But it was just like this overwhelming thing of, I can solve this puzzle. I'm going to find out the truth.
Hey, the world needs that.
Yeah. No, but it's like, who am I? I mean, it's kind of weird because it's like, how many really big experts have done this and tried to do this? But then here's something that our guide said that was like, this will take off everything that everybody's done. So these hieroglyphs, when they're done, they're completely free-flowing. It's a free-flowing language. It's not necessarily read left to right or right to left or top to bottom, bottom to top. There is no direction. And how many times have they said, well, it has to be this way because it isn't. And so then that means whatever they have said could become entirely backwards. And then plus on top being wrong, but if they're trying to attach certain meanings to things and stuff, and it's like, it's totally free flowing. So what they're showing me now is that's like that peeling the onion thing. Well, it's going to mean more. It's going to mean different things at different times to different people. It's a different layers of things. So that's the free flowing of it. I love it. So what, you know, you can't put it all into a box.
Yeah,
so it's going to be whatever we want it to be.
And I have a lot of people talk to me and they say, okay, of all the places, you know, you've gone in your life, like what stands out and, or what's the best. And right now, Egypt is like right up at the top because it satisfies you in a number of different ways. It has going for it the concept of just mystery greater than any place I've ever been. Like you can consistently go hour to hour, day to day, and go to these new places that have such a unique story attached to them. But then you think, okay, what about that makes sense? What about that doesn't? This is exercise of sort of feeling your way and discovering what these places mean to you. I think it may be different for different people also, what they get out of it, how they're connected to it. Maybe they've been used for different things at different times too.
I think that's that onion.
Yeah.
I think that's what that is. Yeah, it's like different things to different people at different times. So for us to try and to attach any one definition to it is really limiting for it because that's not how it's meant. So, they're saying it's an evolving living story.
Hmm.
Okay.
I believe that.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that the sessions when we're, you know, we're teaching, we hear the students coming back with the sessions that they're having. And that's the great thing is when you go to the spot, the energy is amplified and the way your sessions come through, there's just so many fascinating stories that we heard. And it was really exciting to hear about like breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough coming in. And the common theme is like, people are just like, I'm not the same person before I came here. I'm a totally upgraded person. This is one of the best experiences of my entire life. And hearing people say that, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can say that my level two, I came back, it changed my life. And I've talked about that before with Julia. It's changed my life. I'm doing things I've never done before, having experiences I've never had before, activated on many levels, and just continuing that ride with my QHHD experience, with you guys, with just every day brings something new, and it's amazing. So, and I know that there's people that come to me and tell me that story all the time about their experience with QHHT as well. So it's brilliant. I mean, you guys are waking people up all over the world. So,
well, actually, they're correcting you. People are waking themselves up. Hmm. We just happen to be.
You're facilitating.
Yeah. We happen to be there.
Yeah.
But they're doing their part. We're each doing our parts, and they're hearing the call and answering it.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Just keep showing them where that light switch is so they can turn it on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know what our time frame is. I know I really wanted you guys to talk about all the exciting stuff coming up, because you've got some new classes posted on the website.
Yes.
So why don't we talk a little bit about that and before we run out of time?
Yeah. Well, our next class, next round of classes, we're going to have every class in this location. And where is that, Kaya?
Miami, right here.
In the 80-degree weather.
80 degrees today.
Yeah, right. That's one of the reasons we chose that location.
Good choosing.
But there was another big one. And I kept going, okay, so what, because we always look at our bonus days and everything like that, and like what we're going to do that's relevant to QHHT, but also to the area. And so what is it that's relevant? What is it that's significant about Miami that we could possibly enjoy with QHHT?
Miami is definitely, it's a very special city in that it's a really big, warm city on the water. And there's not really a lot of places like that in America or even in the world to this extent. So there's islands everywhere and there's beautiful beaches, and it's really nice. We always want to do, we had it in Arkansas, and it was a sort of a surprise where we did a get together bonfire, and it was really neat. Something about just going stargazing and being together and having a bonfire. And since then we've always wanted to recreate the bonfire moment, but there were, in Australia, I think it was difficult with ordinances and fires, and you can see the repercussions of that right now with all the fires.
That wasn't us.
Yeah.
Nice. Didn't do it.
Wasn't us. We didn't do fires there.
We were nowhere around there.
They gave us a little stove fire that they did at the hotel, but it wasn't the same. We wanted to do a legit bonfire on the beach, waves crashing, meditations under the stars. I mean, that's something that's really special to Miami, and do a sound healing there. So that's the special activity day that we'll be doing, a sound healings right on the beach with the waves crashing and in the
what's significant about Miami's, I mean, what is it about that area that's important? I mean, metaphysically, and
it's known for Atlantis.
There you go. That's
the probability of sessions, people, the practitioners having sessions based on Atlantis, probably is going to be really high. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that the absolute headquarters of Atlantis was the Bahamas, which are super, super close. And Florida, Cuba.
Didn't know that. Kind
of ground zero.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's these steep, they found steps of Bimini where mm-hmm. they have some underground artifacts that they feel are correlated to Atlantis. And yeah, for me, that's a big part of my story and connecting. And it's part of why I live in Miami. And it's a beautiful place here. And usually when people come here, especially during this time of year, they don't want to leave. You see people and they're like, oh, I have to leave in a day, but I think I'm going to stay 3 more days. I think I could do it.
Really don't want to go back to the snow.
I can understand that. Mm-hmm. So you guys are doing sound healing on the beach. Am I understanding that?
Sound healing on the beach. And we're sort of doing level one, level two. And we had two level threes that sold out right away. So we sold out our level three classes almost immediately.
We had we're also doing the companion course, level one companion.
And the companion
course.
We're
doing everything there.
Wow.
And then, yes, we have the bonfire, and then we're doing the sound healing at the same time. So it's all on the beach. It'd be really, really cool.
And who's doing the sound healing?
We're close to selecting the sound healer.
Okay.
The exact one yet.
But yeah, because the experience with sound healing in Mount Shasta was off the charts. It's a powerful thing, and I know that you guys create an amazing experience with that. And I just wanted to say that sound healing, and then that happened again in Stone Mountain in Atlanta when I was with you guys there, and just absolutely an experience. So if people are thinking, ooh, I don't know, what is that sound healing? I'm just going to tell you, go do it. Go have the experience. Take Kaya's advice. Just be open and just let the experience be had and just be in it, because it's amazing.
Every single person has a different experience. So there is no right or wrong experience. There is no right or wrong way to do it. Just enjoy it and just see what happens.
And if there's a way that there's different kinds of sound healings, and we have a specific kind that we like, because coming out of all the classes, everybody's just really in this peak vibrational state. They've been doing sessions on one another. They've been playing with higher levels of consciousness. They've been connecting. There's this beautiful collaboration with everyone. So they're looking and getting into that. We find that the most practitioners want to blast off even further, like sort of with the Tibetan bowls and with beautiful higher light language. And we found the formula that's able to do that and take people to where they left off with class. And then they get another sort of breakthrough with their own vibration and feeling this energy. And it's really euphoric. Like Tracy, isn't it like the feeling after?
You're walking around like a zombie for a little bit. And it's it takes a little bit to come back, if you even come back. I know in Mount Shasta, we went from that to going to that little sacred space where we were going through the labyrinth and doing a couple of things there too. And so that just kind of kept that buzz going. And it was a great experience. So keep the sound healing in there. I love that. But that's my mojo.
it's a nice time to socialize after. You're in this great state, and it's like you're drunk without drinking any toxic alcohol or anything. You feel drunk on life.
Our groups are probably more in that state. I mean, we're drunk without drinking. It's wonderful. It's high on life. I mean,
it really is. How many times have we probably said, "Who needs drugs?" it's a powerful thing to go in those experiences and just be in it and allow. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm noticing we just have like 5 more minutes. We want to talk about the other classes coming up.
Yes.
So the next
that, I believe, is St. Lucia, South Africa. And that will be really, really special. We were in Machu Picchu in South America, and we had a couple of amazing practitioners from South Africa. They're so sweet. Mm-hmm. And they came to us and said, listen, I don't know if you guys ever thought about this, but Robin in particular, she said, I can organize an amazing, amazing safari, and like an incredible safari, an incredible experience. And the icing on the cake is that it can be reasonably priced. And I was like, wow, I thought that safaris really only cost thousands and thousands of dollars, because every time that I kind of looked at safari trips, they're really, really expensive. So you'd have to plan them really far out ahead of time. And it's a significant time, resources, energy, money, just to get it through. And she hooked us up. Robin got us an incredible deal, so that it's not in doing this safari, 3-day safari, it's built into the price of the class, which is incredible. So it's a huge value add bucket list of being out there in nature. And we'll be seeing the Big Five. There's going to be a nocturnal safari where we're going out at night on the jeeps.
Wow. So real quick, is that what levels are you doing in South Africa then?
Level two.
So that means if you haven't done level one, you got to get to Miami. Get your level one in so that you can go to South Africa.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes. because that one is going to be really, really wild. Like literally, figuratively, apparently there's hippos that are walking through the village.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. And that's part of us too, is connecting with nature, connecting with the animals, connecting with this raw primitive state and seeing what comes up through it. Getting our group there, I can't even imagine what's going to come through.
Exactly.
So that's South Africa. Then we have another level two coming up. So these are strategically placed in where we're doing the events, the level twos. We have these events in Miami. And then for Africa, there's South Africa and the safari. And then for Europe, we're having the pyramids of Bosnia. It's the oldest pyramids in the world, the largest pyramid in the world. Recently discovered. This is like discovered maybe 30 years ago, something like that.
So it's fairly,
even if 87 or maybe something. Wow. With aura readings, and we're going to have the European practitioners reunion there, and we're going to go into the caves that connect the pyramids and the sacred energy places. And so after having this amazing experience in Europe and Machu Picchu, it's really exciting for us to bring this to the pyramids of Bosnia and especially connect with the Europeans there in their backyard and experience that with them. And there's the practitioners reunion will be 3 days there. So I have 3 full days or 2.5 days, I think, of exploring the pyramids.
Yeah, exploring, wow, and meditating and doing all kinds of things right in there. We're allowed, we have more ability to do things there than we did in Egypt. Egypt is a little, you know, it's their culture that made it to where we're a little bit limited on what we could do.
Yeah.
But we're pretty free here to do our spiritual things.
Yeah.
Egypt, they were trying to stop us in particular areas. They didn't want us meditating anywhere in some spots. So it was kind of hard. Oh, you kidding me? This is the perfect place to meditate. This is all the places on earth. This is exactly where you want to meditate. And they said, no, meditating here. That was some places, but we won't have that issue anywhere in Bosnia.
No.
Amazing.
Right.
So that is really special. Then confirmed, we have our trip to Bali coming up in October. We'll have a level one, level two, level three, level one companion, the full gamut of classes. And for all of our Aussies out there, that is our, you know, Bali's kind of like Australia. All the Australians go there and they joke around. They say, it's a little Melbourne, a little Sydney.
So many Aussies here. That is their vacation spot. They love to go to
Bali. Their vacation spot. So it's kind of the Australian and Asian practitioners reunion that we'll have there. We're going to be in Ubud, which is probably my favorite place in the world outside of Miami, for a number of reasons. But it's a super powerful yoga area where everyone's doing yoga. The food is, I think, it's the most healthy in the world. It's all organic, locally produced, harvested there. It's delicious. It's really cheap. Everything's much cheaper there. And the architecture is stunning. Nature is beautiful. And it's one of the sacred ley lines. Mm-hmm. Bali is amazing for many, many, many reasons. And we've already had a lot of interest in the practitioners reunion there. So we're really excited for all of those classes in Bali. We think it's going to be an incredible event.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see you there. Putting that one down on the calendar.
It's the furthest away, but everybody's talking about it. Like there's a lot of buzz around Bali.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So
yeah, all of these places, like, and we, oh man, we have like 1 minute to say this, but they're all selected because of their high vibes. We found out just recently, we were just selecting these places and being guided to go to these places. We had some, you know, different things that were guiding us, but just recently we found out that we have been to almost all of the major earth chakras. So mm-hmm. One of these places were chakras, and that could have been what was drawing us. I don't know, but that was so great about us just following our guidance.
Yeah.
You know, and then finding out later, having it confirmed, why it was important.
Yeah, that is important. And you guys have gone to some phenomenal places, having phenomenal experiences. And I get to hear about them because I'm doing the shows with you. So it's like firsthand experiences, you know, hearing what you guys have been doing. It's amazing. And keep doing what you're doing. It's changing the world. So I love it.
Well, I know I love it.
I love it too.
Oh, there it is. Kaya's on board.
Yeah, I love the work we do, and I wouldn't do anything else. It is so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing to think what we do, you know, and think this is our life. This is what we're doing here, and helping so many people, but helping ourselves too. It's just growing, and there's, I just love it. It's not a normal day-to-day grind or anything. I mean, these are pretty special.
Yeah. I want that to be my normal day-to-day grind. Wish come true. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So. Well, our time. Yes, we are. Anyway, thank you so much, Kaya. Thank you for sharing and helping and re-exploring and helping me go back to the wonderful trip that we had.
Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure, and so good seeing everybody out there.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm so excited to see everybody come on and join us, any of these places, and definitely at the reunions. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if these are any places that you've wanted to go, we've made them the best that we can to make them, you know, make them affordable, make them, we're taking your limitations down. The only limitations left are the ones that you place on them. So we've done everything we can to help you be there. And we want you there. We love you. And Tracy, thank you. Oh,
thank you as always. Thank you for having me on.
Anyway, I love you all. And till next time, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.